the New Testament Epistle to the Romans, chapter 3, verses 21 through 31. If you have not yet done so, please stop the video and read the passage. Color coding a diagram can help reveal a number of themes. There are 8 references to God, 7 references to justice, justification, and acquittal, 6 references to Jesus, 4 to belief and faithfulness, 4 to patience, grace, forgiveness, and glory, 3 references to redemption, sacrifice, and death, 3 to manifestation, to show or showing, and 3 time references, previous, now, and the present time. The diagram allows us to prepare an outline. First, God has manifested or shown his justice, both in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and by his Messiah's faithfulness. Second main point, this is for all the faithful, because all sinned and failed to attain glory, but God acquits all the faithful. He forgives them. Then we shall see how he does so, and then why he does so. Well, let's look at verses 21 through 26. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ for all who believe. Righteousness is a reference to the fact that God acquits or forgives sinners. Faith or belief in the New Testament is primarily faithfulness or loyalty. What does this have to do with the life of Jesus Christ? A retranslation of the same verses reads as follows: But now, apart from our keeping his laws, God has displayed how he acquits, as promised in the scriptures. God acquits all who are faithful to him because Messiah Jesus was faithful. Well, how does that work? First, God displayed how he acquits or forgives based on Jesus' life, teachings, death, and resurrection. And from the Tanakh scriptures, he provided examples and promises. This is because of Jesus. We often talk about substitutionary atonement. This includes substitutionary perfection. What does this have to do with the presenting of gifts? For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The verb all have sinned is one of those timeless aorist verbs in Greek, which typically refers to something which is always true. The term glory harks back to chapter 2, where we saw the promise of honor and everlasting life. And to justify is to acquit or to declare to be innocent. And redemption is the act of setting free. Historically, the setting free of slaves upon payment of their price. Does Jesus still change anyone? Retranslating the same verses, we read, God has no favorites, since everyone sins and fails to earn the everlasting life which God promised. So, God freely and graciously acquits everyone, setting people free because of what Messiah Jesus has done. Remember, we sin because we are prone to do evil. This is the cause of our problem. The effect of the problem is that we are excluded from everlasting life. However, we are set free. This is the remedy, as we shall see in the following verse. What does this have to do with Jesus' death, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith? He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. He passed over, for example, when he forgave King David his dastardly sins, for which there was no sacrifice. And this demonstrated, that is, and demonstrated what? Do fallen spirits charge God with favoritism to fallen humans? Can we build a case that there is no forgiveness for fallen spirits who are now held in the underworld? We have evidence of this in the Tanakh in Genesis chapter 6, where God destroyed the Nephilim hybrids, and in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, speaking of human kings, the scripture employs cosmic language, clearly referencing evil spirits who cannot be forgiven. During the Second Temple period, writings such as 1 Enoch make a strong point of the fact that the Most High will not forgive the fallen angels. And in the New Testament, texts such as Revelation 20:10, Jude 6, and 2 Peter lead to the same conclusion. Revelation 20:10, speaking of the future, the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. In Jude 1:6, the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. And 2 Peter 2:4, If God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. The early church agreed in its ancient writings, for example, in the Apocalypse of Abraham and the Testament of Solomon. However, the Talmud shows little interest in spirits. Bible readers, however, wonder about how a just God could forgive unjust humans long before Jesus died to forgive sinners. How does our text answer this? Well, what is justice? Retranslating the same verses, we read, God sent Jesus to die as a sacrifice to forgive those who are faithful to him. This shows that God was still just when he forgave people's sins before Jesus died. God did that because he is very tolerant. Remember, to forgive is to release others from their obligations as we ourselves accept the loss. In what way did God absorb a loss? He is just, meaning he is the reliable, legitimate authority. Tolerance, however, does not mean approval. Some are accused of an unjust release of criminals through activist judges. Verse 26, it was to demonstrate at the present time his own righteousness, so that he is righteous and he justifies the one who has the faith of Jesus. To demonstrate or to display both to humans and to spirits. Yes, he is still righteous, meaning he is still perfectly honest, even though he justifies, that is, he acquits the guilty. The one here meaning anyone who is faithful to Jesus. Why Jesus? Because it is he who died so that we may live. Well, what did he do while he was dead? Retranslating the same verses, God did this to show, from now on, that he is always a just judge, even when he acquits guilty people who are faithful to Jesus, who suffered death so that we humans may live forever. Now, at the present time, with the death of Jesus, came the ultimate turning point of history. He is a just judge, meaning he always does what is right. The guilty also include those who die innocent, not having lived long enough to sin. And what did Jesus do? He carried our sins into hell and left them there. Well, what does this have to do with boasting? Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. Through what kind of law? That of works? No, rather through the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Notice we're using law in two different ways. Prescribed by law, meaning written rules, and the law of works, or the law of faith, meaning a principle by which God operates. The basic law is this. Yahweh requires our faithfulness, our loyalty to Him. The works are those required by Moses' law, which we often violate. Now let's look at a retranslation of the same verses. Is anyone good enough to boast about keeping God's laws? No. Everyone violates God's written rules. So, we must obey His one law, which is to remain faithful. We conclude that God acquits those who remain faithful without our having to keep all His written rules. In the Tanakh, Yahweh had said, "The righteous shall live by his faith." And in Psalm 50, verse 5, Yahweh said, "Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice." Now, Scripture asserts that God is one. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one, and He will justify the circumcised on the ground of faith, and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Circumcised refers to those who are religiously Jewish, and uncircumcised to those who are ethnically Gentile. But they have the same faith. Paul first wrote, "on the ground of faith," and then wrote, "through the faith," referring to the same kind of faith. So, we may be acquitted. Retranslating the same verses, is God only for the Jews? No. Is God also for the Gentiles? Yes. There is only one true God, and He acquits Jews who are faithful to Him, and He also acquits Gentiles who are faithful to Him. He is one, that is, unique. He has no equal, and He may be known by intuition, that is, personal awareness, or by deduction, reasoning logically from the creation to the Creator, or by revelation, God makes Himself known, whether personally or through Scripture. Those who are faithful to Him, remember, Jesus was Messiah for the Jews and is Lord for everyone. Well, what about rebellion? Verse 31, do we then overthrow the law through this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Retranslated, by only being faithful, we do not cancel God's laws. Instead, we confirm God's laws. That is, we neither abolish it nor ignore it. Rather, we uphold it. We defend it and we learn from it, for the law is still God's inspired words. For next time, read the entirety of Romans chapter 4 and visit our website at http://romans.forum. F-O-R-U-M.